and welcome to Radio Purist. Co-host, Mike.
We can't hear you at all.
Good evening, and welcome to the Radio Purists. I'm your co-host, Mike Ranton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We're here for anyone who's interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is spiritual healer and counselor, Dr. Marguerite Birmingham. You can call in and talk with Dr. Marga and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
Oh, how are you?
I am absolutely fabulous. It's been a lovely day here for me. I've enjoyed some time with friends and family, and that's always a wonderful blessing. I am so glad to welcome you all here this evening. First of all, I want to thank all of you who came out to our meeting this past Saturday. We had a last-minute change-up. We were going to be talking about essential oils, but Julie Bowen, bless her heart, has been very ill. So we hold her up in love and light and see her whole and well. But we are very thankful that we had Eric Joe Banks and Vince Sanders of American Shaman CBD with us to talk about CBD oil and all of its wonderful benefits. And we had a great, great program, and we really appreciate Vince and Eric stepping in and giving us such a wonderful program. So thank you to everybody who turned up, and thank you, Vince and Eric. I'm very excited about our guest this evening. Our guest this evening is the one and the only Dr. Marga. Welcome to the show, Dr. Marga.
Welcome, and thank you so much for having me. It's just an honor to be able to share these moments with all of you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you again so much, and we are very happy to have you. I'm so excited. We're going to talk about a lot of wonderful things tonight, in particular talking about this transition that our wonderful world is in and the things that we have to do, the healing on a human level and on an animal level as well to help us transition in this world. But before we get started onto those topics, what I would like to ask you is the same thing I ask everybody. Everybody gets the initiation the first time they're on the show. Tell us about your background. Tell us how you came to this point in your spiritual journey.
Well, it started when I was 14 years old. I'm going to be 63 this year. And I'm Brazilian. You can tell that I have an accent.
Yeah,
I'm Brazilian. And in Brazil, spirituality is huge. We have thousands and thousands of spiritual centers. These spiritual centers, they hold incredible activities where mediums are trained to channel an array of spiritual beings, spiritual masters, and entities. And there are many kinds of, we call lines of spirituality in Brazil, like Kardecism, Umbanda, Candomblé, and many others. And started, my journey when I was 14 years old because I was a Catholic and I was not having the answers that I wanted. And I decided to leave Catholicism and embark on my own quest journey. And obviously, immediately, I attracted all of the teachers that I was supposed to have in my life. And then I decided to research spirituality. And at the age of 16, I was already a trained medium in one of those spiritual modalities we have in Brazil called Umbanda. And I continued. I never stopped anymore researching and being trained and initiated in all kinds of modalities of spirituality in Brazil. That took decades of my life, being trained as a medium and working as a medium various times a week. And by the age of, on my early 30s, then I was introduced to theosophy and I started to work with the Ascended Masters the great white brotherhood on earth, the Elohim and the archangels, and the Intergalactic Confederation. Later on, I was trained in shamanism, but that was already in the United States. As a medium, I used to channel shamans, but my training as a shamanic practitioner was in America. And so in Brazil, I was just channeling a shaman. So that's what happened. And I came to the United States when I was 43 years old. I married an American, and I moved to Hawaii. So in Hawaii, where I spent 18 years, that's where I come from. I come from Hawaii to Lawrence, Kansas. In Hawaii, I had a lot of experience with the kahunas. And it's a long story, but to make it short, I was able to reconnect with my Lemurian energies. And because I don't know if the listeners know, but Hawaii, the physical location of Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands, is where we have the, nowadays on the planet, the etheric and astral Lemuria, okay? So there are gateways in Hawaii on the island of Oahu on a beach called Makapu'u. So I was trained by the kahunas there to work with through the vortexes. So later on, I started to have, over my heart and my consciousness to the animal kingdom. And I started to devote a lot of my time to the animals and the research about animal healing. At that time, I had already pursued a PhD in the United States in energy medicine and science of intuition. And by obviously through inspiration from my masters and the beings of light I work with, they guided me into developing a methodology to help the animals. And this methodology is called Dr. Maida's Animal Healing System. It is a comprehensive energy medicine, shamanic, spiritual healing, healing methodology for animals. So I became an activist. I started to write. I wrote a little book called The Positive Affirmations to Heal Your Pet and Other Animals, which is one of the methodologies that I use for animals and human beings. And I'm writing my second book now, that is the Dr. Imarga's Animal Healing System. So I went full circle. I think this is what happened to me, you know. From someone that was working with human beings, I think I missed this part of my life. I started to work with human beings in the United States as a soul therapist. And I was teaching internationally energy medicine and spiritual healing and sacred healing. I started to travel the world, and I would bring people to Brazil to study spirituality with me, or I would bring people to Hawaii to go through deep Lemurian healing. And so it came to a point that everything went full circle. You know, everything I was doing was making a lot of sense, because I was involved now not only with human beings and devoting, you know, my time, my energy, my heart to the animals and to the environment, obviously, to Mother Earth. So this is my story. Now I live in Lawrence, in Kansas. I'm developing my work here. Because the reason why is because the reason why I'm here, everybody asks me, I had some life changes. And when I had those life changes, my heart told me that I was supposed to come back here, because I used to come to Kansas to teach energy medicine, spirituality, and see people in consultation. And then my guide told me, you've got to go back to Kansas and continue your work. So I moved here with my special needs dogs. And so now I am focused on important, I think there's a group of important things that I'm focused on right now. Yeah, one of them is, and I call my whole work is called Life Reverence. My goal is to, through my teaching and the soul healing and the soul and spiritual consultations that I offer, is expand my brothers and sisters, you know, human beings, their consciousness on reverence for life. It is about time for us to see that we need to protect this planet before it is too late. We'll talk about this later on. And so this is one of my goals, is disseminate this message of life reverence. This message includes, obviously, and it's very much devoted to the environment and to the animals. Another goal that I have, and I'll explore all this later on, another big goal that I have right now is what I call soul healing, okay? So on my website, if you go there, you see programs on the human beings. There's Dr. Margaret's Soul Healing Series. And this is all guided by my, you know, the spirits I work with and the ascended masters, the Elohim, the archangels, my spirit guides. All my work is guided and or intuited by my divine presence, I am. And so my goal right now is to help people get healed, have their souls healed, so that together we can heal our planet. So it's all about healing right now. It's all about remembering who we are, what we are doing on this planet, our life purpose. Because most of us don't know why we were born. Most of us don't have a clue of the reason why we came to this planet, or why we were born in the family we were, or in the society we were. Most people don't know. You can sit at a soccer stadium, at a door of a soccer stadium, when all of the, you know, the attendees are coming in to watch a game or like a baseball game. You can do the steps and sit at a door and ask one by one, do you know why you were born? Do you know the reason why you were born? If you can fill both of your hands with answers, you're lucky. So that's what I say, you know, most people don't know. Even many, many, many healers don't know why they were born. They have an idea, but the real, real reason, they don't know. It's interesting. So my soul healing series has this purpose. And beyond probably all this, I'm very involved right now with this dissemination of respect for life, the life reference, but with the goal of talking about and helping people understand that there is a way of living in harmony with all life, and this way is called vegan living. Because if we continue killing our brothers and sisters, animals, and destroying the planet to plant, you know, foliage to feed the cows, and if we continue hurting the animals and hurting the environment, we don't have many chances to survive here because we are destroying the planet. So there's only one way to stop all this, and that doesn't involve much of an activism as most of people do, is a silent activism, is a change in consciousness, you know, is the silent activism. It is, okay, I am going to choose the group I am part of. Because that's what I tell you in my lectures and to my clients, my patients. I say, you know, what group are you part of? You got to make a choice. When you are here on Earth, you got to know that there are two groups of people on this planet. One group is the one that destroys and kills. Destroys life and kills, or is part of the, or is doing things that are promoting the killing and the abuse, which is eating meat, wearing wool, wearing you know, leather, for example, and using products that are tested on animals. So the group that is part of the destruction of the planet. And there's a group that is here to heal the planet, to recover the planet, and to rescue this planet. So there are only two groups. Either we are here to have reverence for life and know and acknowledge and honor the fact that we are all brothers and sisters, or part of the other group that we can be even very involved in spirituality, as most people are, or religiously, but we are eating the bodies of our brothers and sisters that went through a horrendous life and were killed in the most horrendous, miserable way. and were peeled alive, skinned alive for their, you know, for their skin. So, and this is the work I'm doing. It's like, what are we doing? You know, what kind of group are we part of? So these are my focus. And on the soul healing series, soul healing work that I am very focused on, I love all the gentlemen and the gentlemen that forgive me. I work with men and I give therapy to men and I give workshops to men. But there's a focus in my life right now, which is with the family and sacred energy. And lots of women are being benefited with that, which is empower women to develop and be aware of their divine feminine energy, as I do that with men too. So these are my three big focuses. So it's the life lesson, which includes like vegan living, soul healing series that obviously encompasses healing the planet, and talking about and defending and advocating for the animals. So these would be my focuses right now, and it's the full circle that I call the full circle, because what I see is, okay, here I am. Let's imagine that, you know, I am one of us. And it's okay, I talk about forgiveness, for example. I talk about unconditional love, and I talk about compassion. Okay, I am working on myself, I'm going to therapy, or I'm doing healing, and I feel that I sense I'm becoming more compassionate, more forgiving, and I have a higher level of unconditional love. But then I get home, and I eat the body of an animal that was brutally killed, and I go buy a pair of shoes that have the skin of an animal that suffered misery to have that skin peeled off. So for me, it doesn't make sense. I want just to clear up, and I say this every time I give a radio show, don't you think that I was born like this, because I was not. I come from south of Brazil, from a farmer's family, and you know what that is. It's pretty much like Texas. And yeah. So I ate meat for a long time in my life. I was not born with this level of consciousness. So that's why I feel comfortable in talking about it, because I know how difficult it is. I know that we have habits, and as human race, we are all brainwashed by the big corporations. So to believe that we need animal protein. So it's just a matter of researching. So people go on YouTube, go on my Facebook, for example, and it's all there. It's so easy nowadays to Google, do I need animal protein? You're going to find so much for enough for a PhD. And so I was not born like this. No. This is a transition. This is a journey. And that's why I talk to people. I'm inviting people to embark on the life, reverence, journey. And I'm very pleased to help people understand, you know, steps, help them understand how they can do that, you know, in a gentle way, because I know how difficult it is. And the reason why I do that, I'm going to be honest, it's for the animals. I know that I benefit because I have an amazing health. I'm a very, very, very healthy lady. And I do that for the environment, obviously. But I'm going to be honest and clear. My main goal is to save animal lives, the brothers and sisters. That's what it is.
Right. Yes, I understand that. That's an amazing journey that you have experienced over the past many years, and the development and the evolution of your soul is inspiring that of others. I do have a question. I know that one of the things that you do is you use soul retrieval in your shamanic healing therapies, and I know that you use that with both humans and animals. Am I correct?
Yes.
Can you talk us a little bit of what that's like?
Yeah, and that's my passion in healing. You touched my passion right straight. You are really, really intuitive.
And I
thank you that you are so intuitive, and we are in synchronicity here, you and I. Yeah, okay. I started with a soul retrieval as a shamanic practitioner for human beings. I was trained by Sandra Ingerman with the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, Michael Harner, and in the United States. And then later on, being a shamanic practitioner for so many years, I started to develop the same technique for animals. Because there aren't many shamanic practitioners out there helping animals with soul retrieval. Not many. And then I started to develop that for animals, and it's fascinating. It's a little bit different, though. But let's talk about soul retrieval as a whole. In shamanism and in ancient times, in native, traditions, we believe that the origin of disease is soul loss. When you talk about soul, let's think about our soul, not the spirit. Because our spirit is our divine presence, I am, is our monad. I'm talking about the soul that is journeying on the planet in this body here, in these bodies, because we have many bodies. Okay. But anyway, so according to these traditions, when the being loses part of the essence through trauma, abuse, grief, accidents, surgeries that went bad, natural disasters, losses, abuses of all kinds, shock, trauma. When we go through these moments of traumatic moments, part of our essence that we call soul in shamanism, part of our soul, leaves the body during the moment of the trauma, of the abuse, or like, for example, physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse. Leaves the body, and that portion of our soul, of our energy, of our essence, it stays in the spirit world. And if there is no healing process that takes place later on in that person's or that animal's life, for example, psychotherapy, mm-hmm. soul therapy, any kind of deeper healing, okay, many modalities of healing that can rescue that essence and bring back to the being and reintegrate that essence, that portion of the soul, it stays in the spirit world. In shamanism, we call the upper world, middle world, or lower world. In other traditions, we call it differently, because I work with different traditions of spirituality. So in shamanism, we call upper, middle, and lower world. Okay. And lower has not to do with bad energy. No, it's just a level of reality that we go through as shamanic practitioners. Okay, so it stays there. It cannot come back to the being. So that being lives a life that has some sort of emptiness, fragmentation, and separateness. Okay. This Saturday, I'm giving a workshop on fragmentation. It's very appropriate right now that we're talking about it, because that's what, when I teach fragmentation and separateness, I talk about this. So what happens is that all of us, and the animals, we suffer many trauma. We go through a lot of trauma in our lives. And many of us throughout lifetime don't have those portions back reintegrated into our bodies. So sometimes we are, for example, in this incarnation right now, we are living here, and that let me give you, for example, some a list of symptoms that people have or animals have, when they are having this soul loss. So, for example, for animals, they start to develop separation anxiety, rage syndrome, or even suicidal. We're having dogs that are committing suicide. It's amazing. Destruction of things at home like carpets, curtains, mattresses, furniture, aloofness, depression, or poor social skills, or uncontrollable behavior, craziness, maniac behavior, terror, phobias, intense fear, lack of trust, a lot of worry, suspiciousness, or extreme submissiveness, lack of self-confidence. So when the being presents these symptoms, or human beings, for example, people say, since my spouse died, I'm not the same anymore. There's this void inside my soul. Or since I had that, for example, that anesthesia accident, I went through the anesthesia and went bad. For example, I went through that, and it's like I'm not in my body anymore. I have this like mind all the time. It's like as if I was not completely in my body. Or people say, you know, since I was abused sexually or physically, I cannot, for example, have a relationship with this or that kind of people or sex, for example. Or people say, you know, I cannot, phobia, for example, I cannot be in an elevator. There's no way I can be in an elevator. I cannot travel by airplane, or I cannot see, for example, an animal, a dog, or a spider, or a snake, or something like that. So when we develop this, like, post-traumatic stress disorders, just when we have all this, this is a symptom that we have one or more portions of our soul in the past. So what happens during was soul retrieval? The shaman or the shamanic practitioner goes back with their power animals and spirit guides, the spiritual helpers, into the being's past. Human beings, I usually go into the person's past life too, for me, because I work with past life as a therapist.
Right.
So you go into the past, the person's past, with your power animal spiritual guide, and you find a few portions of the soul that were lost. We do the healing in the past, not in the present. It's fascinating. We do the healing in the past, and what we bring back to the present is the healed portion, and we bring back the attribute that was lost. For example, let's take the situation, let's create a case, okay? Let's take this, I'm going to tell a whole story, a story of one client that I had in Brazil once when I went to Brazil to visit, and I was getting some retrieval there. So I had this lady, and I didn't know, because usually if they are not my clients, I just know the name. So she booked an appointment with me, okay, name I knew, that's it. And then I did her soul retrieval. And when I was doing the soul retrieval, I saw this Indian, you know, native Brazilian Indian, you know, dead on the bottom of a lake with a rope around the neck and a huge rock, dead. And she was a neat girl. And I see, you know, my spirit guys, they put me in the consciousness of the being that I'm helping with. So I can see, I feel, I sense everything that they are doing or they did when that happened to them. It's fascinating. So I could see what she was seeing before she died. And so then she was on the bottom of a lake, and then I could see the boats, you know, on the surface and a lot of movement on the surface of the water. So we rescued her, you know, her soul, let's be realistic here, the soul, from the bottom of the lake, and we brought into, you know, the middle world, because we were in the middle world. And we started to talk to the soul. And then we asked her what had happened. And she said, you know, my whole tribe was decimated by the Jesuits and the settlers. And I'm one of those that lost the whole family, the whole tribe, and I was part of the movement against them, so they killed me. And and she said, I hate Catholicism. I just hate all priests. I hate white men. I just hate all of them. But I hate Catholicism. Okay, so we arrested her. You know, we did a soul retrieval. We retrieved that person. We healed. And what we brought back to that lady that was helping was trust in priests, trust in Catholicism. Don't make that a general term in her life anymore, a general belief that all of them are bad. No, trust that, yes, there were things that happened. Oh, yes, things happened, but not all of them are the same, so that she can go into a church, or she can talk to a nun or a priest, or she can have a balanced relationship with someone that is against the Catholic. She doesn't need to hate them anymore. Okay, so we rescued many other parts of her. We retrieved. Okay, so I brought all that, and then I inserted in her chakras. You know, we inserted the these portions on the crown and the heart chakra, and then the shaman shares. Okay. And I was sharing with her because I didn't know what had happened. And I knew, they showed me that it had been during Brazil's discovery, because I would see the date 1500 all the time, nonstop. And then I asked her, Because depending on the kind of information you bring, you ask questions first so that you don't talk about the trauma right then. So I ask her, well, you know, do you have any issues with Catholicism or, you know, with white people or, you know, like a German descendant or, you know, European people? She goes like, oh, I just hate Catholicism. Don't talk about that with me because I live, and I don't like to be around much people, by the way. I live in the rural area. I live in a house that, you know, it's like has, you know, dirt on the floor, surrounded by animals, and I don't like to be around people. I don't want to be around white people, and I don't want to be around anybody that has involved with Catholic. So she said, why? Wow. And I shared with her. So this is one example, okay, amongst many others. Sometimes what we see in the past is a symbolism of what happened. Very symbolic, and then we ask the person, okay, I got this, I saw this, does this mean anything to you? And for me, bless my heart, and I'm very grateful to the spirit world that until today, all my soul retrievals are 100% accurate. Then what we do, we bring the essence that was lost, and we insert that on the being, the person, heart chakra and crown chakra, and then we seal those hearts, those chakras, and then we share with the person. There's a lot of ceremony. But anyway, then we share, and then if the person is already in psychotherapy or soul therapy, then we send a report to, for example, if the therapist sent the person to me in this case, or if it's another soul therapist to send the person to me, I send a report. Or if it's my client, then I use that information to help the person go through the issues, right, and work on the issues that presently that person is working with. It's fascinating. And for animals, it's a little bit different because animals have a group soul. They're part of a group soul. When they're here on Earth, they have individualized soul, but they don't have an individualized monad. So when an animal dies, it goes to a group soul in the spirit world, to the astral or etheric world. And as we have etheric and astral cities for human beings and colonies of all kinds, amazing, the animals have to. And so the difference is that when they die, they go back to the group soul or to the group soul above theirs if they evolved enough here. Until one day, when that animal is on top of its chain, it will individualize the monad and start this evolution as a human being. So the soul retrieval for animals, usually we work with this lifetime event. And it's fascinating, too. Fascinating when you go back into the animal's, you know, abused moments, and you bring back the essence, and the change is instantaneous. It's, the other day, for example, I did long, because for animals, most of the time, I do long distance, right? Because I have animals, and some, you know, I cannot bring animals into my office because I have a home office. I tend to have a separate one. But anyway, right now, I do long distance, or I go to the person's house. So the other day, I met someone online, someone booked so retrieval with the animal. And the animal had lots of issues, lots and lots of issues. And the animal told me everything. We found, you know, the moments of all the trauma, all the abuse in this life, so everything in detail. And then we healed everything. We brought back everything to that baby. And when I talked to the person, explained everything, the person was very moved because it was everything very accurate. And then a few days after, or I think it's not the following day, she sent me pictures. And I had the before and after pictures because when she sent me the pictures of that dog, the eyes of that animal were pure panic, pure terror.
Oh, my.
That animal was so much suffering. When she sent me the picture, I think it was the following day, you should see the eyes. Oh, and she said, Marga, he is so well. He's so calm and tranquil. So this is the beauty because what we bring back is like trust. Maybe for animals, it's trust. That you're not going to be abused anymore, that all is well, or trust that now you are going to have, you know, safety, and you're going to have, you know, like a safe place to be, and then calmness. But above all, for animals, what we need to bring back is safety, trust and safety, because that's what they lose when they are abused and neglected. They believe, they form a belief system in their souls that they are not worthy, they nobody's going to take care of them, nobody loves them, and that's the life they're going to live. So for example, animals are pussy mill animals, rescued animals, like, you know, that's the kind of animal I have worked a lot with. They believe that that's it. That's it. Nothing is going to change. My life is this. I'm going to live forever, you know, in this cage. Or so when you give us a retrieval to an animal, a rescue animal, for example, you bring back the trust and the hope, because they lose the hope, you know?
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Yes. Fascinating.
The first thing that struck me when you were talking about soul retrieval of animals and when you were talking about the eyes, the first thing that struck me that was animals, a natural state for the animals on this planet is a state of joy. The natural state for them. If they are allowed to be free and be themselves. So to find an animal where that sense of joy is broken and fractured is heart-wrenching. It reminds me of children. The natural state for a child is a state of joy and a state of wonder and a state of trust and a state of innocence. And unfortunately, we frequently train it out of them. And especially in Western society, we teach them to be logical and analytical. And I have no problem with logic and analysis. It helps me balance my checkbook. But to train them out of their natural state, I think we do ourselves and we do this planet a disservice. What I want to ask you, and I was brought up in a very fundamentalist Baptist family with a belief that, you know, and I don't share this belief, but with a belief that human beings were supposed to be the dominant species. And I don't share that particular belief, but what I want to ask you is, what is it that is meant to be the relationship between human and animals as we share this world?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're touching on something important that is part of the life reverence work that we do. And just to share before I talk, if anybody wants to read some of my blog articles about what we're going to be talking about right now, later on when we talk about my website, just go on my blog later on when we talk about the website and read my blog. I have some articles that I wrote there, and I also have some beautiful prayers for the animals. But there are many, many articles about the animals. And whatever I'm talking here right now, you will find on my blog. So, okay. And I call that, in my writing, I call our role with animals and the role of animals with us. It's part of a lot of what you can see on my blog, okay? So let's talk about the animals' roles with us. Animals, if anybody that is listening to us here right now has any training in shamanism or in energy medicine, has studied, you know, archetypes, animals, they are the holders. They are the anchorage of the most important universal archetypes on Earth for us. They are our teachers. It's very simple to understand about archetypes. If we have any listener that has not studied archetypes yet, very simple, okay, very simple. Let's think about the most common animal, dog, okay? And then what is it that a dog brings us as soul attribute? And we all know friendship, loyalty, right? Above all, unconditional love, forgiveness, joy, right? We know that. I'm just talking about the basic here, okay? And then we think about, for example, a horse. The horse brings us with it, you know, the freedom, the power, so much that our cars are, you know, the engine is in horsepower, right? Let's talk about very briefly, you know, about the cats. And the cat is, you know, they bring us the attribute of mostly independent, right? And they're very intuitive. So they are very connect us to the spirit world. Very intuitive. So, but cat mainly talking about independence. It's like, get me my food, get me my little box, bye-bye, hasta la vista, have a good day, I'm good, right? Dogs, no.
Yes, and they come to you when they want something, not the other way around.
Yeah. Dogs, they depend on us for everything. They depend on love, protection, everything. So, so animals, the role of animals with us is to reconnect. Listen to the word, it's re, it's not connect us. It's to reconnect us with the divine attributes of the soul, because as a human race, we have lost this connection in our heart. That's a long story. We can talk. We have the lost link in our heart chakra that we lost when there was the fall of the man on the planet millions of years ago. And so the animals are here now to bring us the attributes of the soul. All of them are representative in a live personification of divine universal archetype. That's what the animals are. They are here to remind us of what we have to do with our lives, like be calm, be gentle, honor others, be honest, be loving, compassionate, forgiving, all those attributes. They are teaching us, and they look at us. Animals, they look at us, and they see our energy, they sense our energy, they analyze our energy, they read us. You can do, whoever is listening to me, if you have pets at home, I know you know this. They look
indeed
at you, and they say, Mom, you're so stressed out today, you're all over the place, please, calm down, you know, go slowly, la, la, la. They tell you. Oh, yeah. And the animals show you who you have to hang out with, because they will let you know. If you're hanging out with someone that doesn't have a good energy or is about to hurt you, oh, you betcha, they are not going to like that person. No.
Yeah.
I tell women, do you know how to choose the best partner for you? Let your dog do that. Let your dog choose their partner. Women, I work a lot with women, you know, they have from bad relationships, in you know, destructive relationships, magnetic relationships. They give workshops on that. I say, let your dog choose your next partner, will ya? I just had this
that
someone
so that
I worked with the other day. Yeah. And
that,
then I think
that is
the
so
dog
true. Let me
so
share
hurt.
For just a moment. Let me share just a little story just about that with you. My mother recently remarried, and he's a wonderful man. And she had a boyfriend for a couple of years before that. My stepfather died 10 years ago. Her previous relationship, she has the sweetest little dog. The little dog was terrified of him in the previous relationship. This boyfriend that she had, terrified of him. And finally, I think my mom came around to realize why, and then. Recently, she remarried, and she remarried a wonderful man, and I think she lost her dog to him because the dog likes him best.
For sure. Yeah. So this is the role of animals with us. And now, what is our role? Now comes something very important. And most people don't know what their role with animals are. Okay? In the same session, I'm going to say this very calmly, in the same fashion, in the same way that our guardian angels is spirit guides, is spiritual mentors, and the beings of light, supreme light, they guide us, they help us, they lead us on this planet, being us, conscious or unconscious about that, because people can say, I don't have a spirit guide. Yes, you do. You're not conscious about that. Everybody does. Everybody has spirit guides. Everybody has guardian angels. Everybody has protective angels. Everybody. It's just that some people temporarily don't notice that, don't observe that. Anyway, so as in the same fashion that spiritual beings guide and protect us on earth, we are here to guide and protect the animals and not kill them and not eat their bodies and not use their skin. We are here to help them learn how to be human beings so that when they individualize their moment, they already know how to live as a human being. And everybody that is listening to me right now that has especially cats, dogs, and horses, know what I'm talking about. They know what I'm talking about. Because most people say, well, my dog talks to me. My cat tells me stuff. My horse says, oh, for sure. Because all of them talk. But they talk their language. We have to be quiet to listen to them because they tell us everything. So this is our role with animals, is to guide them, protect them, give them a good life, allow them to live their incarnation, and teach them how to be a human being, because that's where they're marching toward, right? So I talk to my animals, and, you know, I have lots of conversations. And, you know, some people say, okay, just look at her. She's talking to the animals. She's giving them, she's preaching to the animals right now. And then I want my oldest, and then my oldest, she can be cranky, blah, blah, blah. She's the queen, you know. And I tell her, no. You need to, when she doesn't want to share, for example, the space or whatever, because I'm down to two now, I lost one. And then I tell her all the time, listen, in this house, nobody owns anything. We all share. We share the floor, we share the bed, we share the sofas, we share everything. We don't own anything here. She looks at me like, You know, so this is what we're doing. We are sharing the planet. And if you read on my blog, if anybody is interested, go on my blog and read. I have long articles about that. And no scripture, no sacred book has ever told us that we were supposed to be killing 160 billion of animals on this planet every year for meat. We talk about genocide, Holocaust, whatever the word you want to use. I call it Holocaust. So where do we think we're going? Living a life that is involved with, in partnership with destruction, misery, and killing. Where do we think we're going? It's like it's an illusion asking, you know, thinking that this is not going to get back to us. Of course it's going to get back to us. Of course, as many lifetimes that it is necessary, because it's not about punishment. Karma is just energy. What goes around comes around. What you give up gets back to you, period. That's the way it is. It's a universal law. It's energy. It's a boomerang. So everything we are doing, we have been doing against the animals and the environment, is coming back to us already as natural disasters and big accidents, group karma, right? And it's going to get back to us all the lifetimes we will come back here. We will come back to the planet we are destroying. Don't we have the illusion that when we come back here, everything is going to be, you know, just pink and beautiful? Because if we don't stop destroying this planet now, it's going to be very hard when we come back here. What kind of air are we going to be breathing? What kind of soil are we going to have? What kind of water? You know, it's going to be, you know, day after. So this is it now. It's not about politics. I don't care. I know there's politics in all this. Da 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 da. No, I couldn't. Okay, my plea is, let's have reverence for life, and let's be responsible with our choices on a daily basis with the beings that surround us, and we are sharing the planet with. That's all. But unconditional love. Why is it that most people talk about unconditional love, but they don't have unconditional love with the animals whose bodies they are eating? You know, I know of Buddhist monasteries where they're eating meat. I keep thinking, okay, hello, you know, Buddha never told you to eat meat, never, you know, never. So it blows my mind. So we people talk about compassion, unconditional compassion, compassion. What is compassion? The golden rule. How can I do to others what I don't want others to do to me? You know, how can I take someone's life away? It's like Billie Jean, one of the most famous authors, animal authors, healers of this feminine actor, the Billie Jean. She, I like to quote her, and I have her quote. She says, the body is a temple. We don't have the right to take that temple, anybody's temple, away. How can we take someone's temple away? We don't have this right to take someone's temple away. I wouldn't like to be murdered, you know. I think it would be horrible to be murdered. I wouldn't like to all of a sudden, you know, to see my family be killed in front of me. And this is what happens to the animals. A cow cries. Imagine how many billions of cows every year. Each cow cries as a cow for 1 week after the calf is taken away from her. Yeah, all animals, they have emotions. They have feelings, some of them more or less, depending on the species. They have families. They have their social group. They suffer. They mourn the death of their, you know, their beloved ones. They grieve. They bury their dead. You know, so why is it that we have this speciesism, that's what I call, that I can be, try to be loving and unconditional loving and compassionate with human beings and my dogs, but then I go and I buy the corpse of an animal that was brutally murdered. So for me, it doesn't make much sense. When I have compassion for my dogs at home or for my family's dogs, then I go in and get the meat of another animal, or I wear that beautiful jacket that has bunny fur from that beautiful, cute bunny that was peeled, skin alive in China. Or, you know, I eat the meat of, like in China, I go and I buy the meat of a dog that it still had the collar on when it was taken from the street. So how can I have compassion and do these things? So this is my plea to everyone, you know. But this is the time. This is the time to develop consciousness. Okay, here I am. I'm sharing this planet. I must develop unconditional love. Unconditional compassion, but not the species. So this is my final message, you know, where everybody stop and think, and then people say, okay, I'm not giving up my, I hear this from people that entitle themselves very specialized. Okay, I hear you, but I'm not giving up my cheese and my milk. Well, the cheese is not yours to start with. The milk is not yours to start with. It belongs to the poor cow and belongs to that calf. My milk, you know, if you have love in your heart, if you have compassion in your heart, you just go to any natural grocery store. They have nowadays 6, 7, 8 kinds of different kinds of milk substitutes, all kinds of cream cheeses you can imagine, shredded cheese, you name it.
They do. Even the health food sections of regular grocery stores, like I know Hy-Vee itself has a huge health food section that they keep.
Yeah.
It's like their own little market that's separate from everything else.
Yeah, you know, and it's like there are so many options out there. I understand, for example, if we are talking about someone that lives in Alaska, depending on where they live. Oh, no, gotcha. I understand. Of course. There are exceptions, you know, when depending on where you live, you don't have any access to greens and fruits and vegetables. You don't have. Okay. So I obviously, this is part of their consciousness journey. But we just get the car, go to, for example, here, I live in Lawrence, right? We have Hy-Vee, we have Metro Grocers. There's a new one now called Sprouts. We have the Merck, you know. And we go there, they're all there. It's available. It's just a matter of having love in our hearts and saying, no, even though I like it, I'm going to remember my brothers and sisters that were killed. and I'm going to honor their life and their temple,
yeah.
Right? I'm honest with everybody that's listening to me. Don't you guys think that I don't miss the flavor or something? Uh-huh, I do, but I don't have it. That's it. My physical body still remembers the taste of, for example, lots of Brazilian candies made with milk and eggs. Oh, yeah. It's big in Brazil because of the German and Italian settlement. The desserts are gorgeous. However, everything has milk and eggs. No, I remember the taste is amazingly good. But I chose and I choose not to because I see in that product, I see the body of the animal in front of me. So for
well,
me, it's very easy. A matter of love.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Marga. I'm going to have to ask you to. We got to go really soon here. I'm sorry, we run out of time so quickly on the show. But I want to ask you if you can give us your website and contact information before we go to Mike, so that he can tell us what's coming up in PRS over the next few months. So if you can please tell us how we can find your books, how we can contact you, your website, your Facebook. How can we get a hold of you, Dr. Marga?
Very simple. My website is Dr. Marga, but just the initial D as in David, drmarga.org. Very simple. Doctor, just the D and the R. The letter D is the letter R, marga.org. Very simple. And then you go on my website, you click on my Facebook, it's right there, or just look for Dr. Marga on Facebook. It's very simple, very simple. And or click Google me, you know, Margaret, because my name is Margaret with a T-E at the end. Margaret Birmingham, Birmingham like the city in Alabama. I'm sure that if you Google Dr. Marga, there are the author Dr. Marga, however. So that's why it's Dr. drmarga.org, because there is another Dr. Marga that is drmarga.com. And you're going to see
right.
it. There's no way you can miss it because there's life reverence there, animals all over the place. Thank you, my
wonderful.
Dear.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Marga, for your conscientiousness and your work towards the evolution of humans and animals on this planet. We're going to go to Dr. Mike. We're going to go to Mike. Everybody's
thank you
becoming
so
a doctor today all of a sudden. Thank you. Mike,
thank
take
you.
It away and tell us what's coming up.
All right, coming up next month, March 19th, we have Dear Heart Energy doing Mikao Usui Reiki Crystal Awakening. That will include the attunement. We had them on the radio show last year, so if you listen to that, you can come see them live. On April 16th, we have Dr. Stephen Summers doing a past life regression talk and session. On May 21st, our guest will be Susan McKenzie, and June 11th, our guest will be Matthew Gaines. All these meetings will be at the Westwood, Kansas location at 7 p.m. Our members always get in for free. Anyway, welcome for $5. You can see more about these meetings and more information on our website, prskc.org.
And next week right here on Radio PRS, we have Jessica Ahlstrom, Jessica of Transcendence Wellness Center. They're getting ready to open up a second location. We're going to talk about healing your inner child. The following week, we have the wonderful Kat Wilder, the Philanist, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So I look forward to having you all come back. Thank you again to Dr. Marga, and thank you to Mike, who my guest, my co-host, Mike Ranson. I want to thank PRS for bringing us this wonderful program every week, and thank you all for tuning in. Have a blessed and wonderful night. Cue that music.